This is Sarah Chaffee with ID the Future. On today's podcast, we will be discussing what teaching the controversy over evolution looks like in the classroom. In general terms, students should learn more, not less, about evolution. We'll take a look at a lesson plan overview for a unit on neo-Darwinism and highlight three different areas of scientific controversy for teachers to present. According to Nature and Scientific American, quote, students gain a much deeper understanding of science when they actively grapple with questions than when they passively listen to answers, unquote. In Nature, Jay Labov, a senior education advisor for the U.S. National Academy of Sciences, describes active engagement as, quote, learning content not as something you memorize and regurgitate, but as raw material for making connections, drawing inferences, creating new information, learning how to learn, unquote. Discovery Institute advocates teaching the controversy over evolution. But in practice, what should that look like? In general terms, as I wrote to a parent recently, we recommend that students learn more about evolution, not less, and critically evaluate both the scientific strengths and weaknesses of the theory. Our science education policy states, quote, instead of mandating intelligent design, Discovery Institute seeks to increase the coverage of evolution in textbooks. It believes that evolution should be fully and completely presented to students, and they should learn more about evolutionary theory, including its unresolved issues. In other words, evolution should be taught as a scientific theory that is open to critical scrutiny, not as a sacred dogma that can't be questioned. Discovery Institute believes that a curriculum that aims to provide students with an understanding of the strengths and weaknesses of neo-Darwinian and chemical evolutionary theories, rather than teaching an alternative theory, such as intelligent design, represents a common ground approach that all reasonable citizens can agree on, unquote. We would normally recommend that teachers cover this material in whatever grade the curriculum covers evolution. Typically, the most extended discussions of neo-Darwinism come in high school biology courses. As our educator's briefing packet notes, an objective unit covering evolution could first spend 1 or 2 weeks on the required curriculum, teaching students the arguments for evolution. Then teachers could devote 2 or 3 days to the scientific criticisms of neo-Darwinism, using the DVD Icons of Evolution and accompanying study guide, or the DVD Investigating Evolution. Finally, students could spend a day or two formulating and defending a position, using scientific evidence, either through writing a paper or participating in an in-class debate. This kind of approach doesn't take more time than generally spent on an evolution unit, but it does help students to practice scientific inquiry. There are several areas in which teachers can engage students with this fascinating scientific controversy. First, one might cover the primary mechanism of evolution, natural selection acting on random mutations. Does the evidence demonstrate that this mechanism is able to account for the complexity of life? Most biology textbooks claim that it does, but many scientists disagree. Over 950 PhD scientists have signed a dissent from Darwinism list, agreeing that they are skeptical of claims for the ability of random mutations and natural selection to account for the complexity of life. Common textbook examples of natural selection, like the changes within the Galapagos finches, or the peppered moth, or antibiotic resistance, demonstrate only small-scale evolution. They do not show how new species emerge. First, one may cover the primary mechanism of evolution, natural selection acting on random mutations. Does the evidence demonstrate that this mechanism is able to account for the complexity of life? Most biology textbooks claim that it does, but many scientists disagree. Over 950 PhD scientists have signed a dissent from Darwinism list, agreeing that they are, quote, skeptical of claims for the ability of random mutations and natural selection to account for the complexity of life, unquote. Common textbook examples of natural selection, like the changes within the Galapagos finches, or the peppered moth, or antibiotic resistance, demonstrate only small-scale evolution. They do not show how new species emerge. Second, a teacher may discuss the concept of universal common ancestry, helping students to analyze whether vertebrate embryos are or are not similar in their earliest stages, whether the fossil record shows intermediate links, and whether DNA evidence points to a grand tree of life. Third, a teacher could address chemical evolution. They could ask the question, has science come up with a plausible explanation for the origin of the first life? While few textbooks will admit that no such answer exists, leading biologists like Eugene Koonin have stated, among other things, that, quote, the origin of life field is a failure. We still do not even have a plausible, coherent model, let alone a validated scenario for the emergence of life on Earth, unquote. So, for example, an instructor using the 2014 Miller-Levine biology textbook would cover the Galapagos finches as evidence for natural selection. After completing the unit on evolution, she could show the class the section of the DVD investigating evolution on the Galapagos finches, presenting a different view. Finally, students could be asked to form their own opinions on the Galapagos finches and their significance for natural selection. As our fact sheet, Tips for Teaching Evolution Objectively notes, quote, teachers who personally support the standard neo-Darwinian view should not refuse to cover scientific criticisms of that position. In fact, what the teacher personally thinks doesn't matter. If taught properly, students may not even know exactly where the teacher stands on this topic. Nothing in the above references intelligent design or creationism. This is purely a discussion of the theory of evolution, its scientific strengths presented in mainstream textbooks, and objections raised in recent scientific research. This kind of objective science education paves the way for high-level learning. And it's time for a change. Carl Wieman, a physicist at Stanford who won the 2001 Nobel Prize in his field, began advocating for science education reform after interacting with newly graduated scientists who had, quote, done really well as undergraduates but couldn't do research, unquote. Today, along with prominent journals such as Nature, Scientific American, and Science, he promotes active engagement in the classroom. Nature concludes its keynote editorial, quote, but change is essential. In an era when more of us now work with our heads rather than our hands, the world can no longer afford to support poor learning systems that allow too few people to achieve their goals, unquote. These advocates of critical thinking and science education are right. Unfortunately, most of them probably don't apply their advice to the teaching of Darwinian evolution. They should reconsider. For ID the Future, this is Sarah Chaffee. Thank you for listening. This program was recorded by Discovery Institute's Center for Science and Culture. ID the Future is copyright Discovery Institute, 2016. For more information, visit intelligentdesign.org or idthefuture.com.